A search is underway near Lynn Canal for a missing plane. And three recent Haynes graduates share their experience in Africa. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Aerial and ground searchers are looking for a small air excursions plane that went missing between Juneau and Gustavus early Thursday morning with one person on board. Coast Guard Lieutenant Ryan Erickson said the plane was due in Gustavus at 8:55 a.m. The pilot, whose name has not been released, last made contact with flight service at 8:47 near Point Howard. A Coast Guard MH-60 and a commercial chopper from Coastal Helicopters have been looking for the plane since shortly after 9 o'clock. Alaska State Troopers and Juneau Mountain Rescue began the ground search Thursday afternoon on the mainland between Lynn Canal and Icy Strait. Erickson said low clouds, fog, and rain are complicating their efforts.
Low ceilings, last I heard, was 300 to 400 feet cloud level. It's hampering any major searches from the air above that level, so that's why we had to call in the ground crews to be able to hike in.
Erickson said there's been no signal from an emergency locator beacon, if the plane had one. The aircraft is described as a teal and white Piper Cherokee owned by Air Excursions. A woman who answered the phone at the company's Juneau office said there would be no comment or further information released at this time. The Chilkoot is brimming with sockeye salmon this season. More than 95,000 sockeye have been counted at the Chilkoot Lake Weir as of August 1st. That's the highest cumulative sockeye count for this date since the Weir Counting Project began in 1976. Randy Bachman is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game commercial fishery biologist.
Count through yesterday of just over 95,000 fish is the highest count on record for this project.
The season totals at the Weir have exceeded 95,000 sockeye in several other years, just not this early in the season. The highest total sockeye count was 103,000 in 1982. Counting at the Weir continues through August. The count exceeds the escapement goal of between 38,000 to 86,000 sockeye for Chilkoot Lake. Bachman said the lake should be able to support that many fish.
The conditions in the lake currently seem very productive and healthy at this time. So we're pretty optimistic, even though we've got a higher number than we actually were aiming for to into the lake. We expect that unless we continue to get large numbers of fish in the lake, if we achieve a number of about 100,000 fish, that would probably be okay.
The actual effects of this year's return won't be known for 5 years, when the offspring of this parent run return to the lake. For example, this large run is a product of 2007, when there was a Weir count of 72,000 fish.
We won't know until these returns come back in 5 years what effects having this large of a skimmer in the lake might have.
The healthy run prompted an increase to the bag limit on sockeye sport fishing. Starting Friday, August 3rd, the sockeye bag limit will be 12 per day and 12 in possession at the river and on the lake. The usual limit is 6 a day and 12 in possession. Sport fish biologist Rich Chapel said the last time the bag limit was increased on the Chilkoot for sockeye was in 2001. Subsistence and commercial periods have also been extended in Chilkoot and Lutac inlets. Sometimes it's the random little things that bring you back to a place you've been. Like for three recent graduates of Haynes High School that just returned from several weeks in Africa, it takes just a song to remind them of their time at a Tanzania orphanage.
Yeah, I heard that Shakira song the other day and like I teared up.
They were constantly singing that This Is Africa song.
Waka Waka.
Waka Waka, yeah. Because
this is Africa. Waka Waka.
Jackie St. Clair, Brooke Sinoco, and Elena Horner spent 5 weeks at an orphanage the Haynes School has been involved with for a few years. A former resident of Haynes, Dr. Greg Higgins, became connected with the Kilimanjaro Orphanage Center after traveling to the area. Haynes students regularly raise money and donate it to the orphanage through the Pennies for Peace program. But this summer, the three women traveled there to volunteer. Jackie said she was inspired by a slideshow Haines resident Jamie King did at the school. She said King made it seem possible to actually go to the orphanage.
He did a slideshow about his experience at the orphanage and what he did, and I think we were just like, oh, you know, this person can go there and they can help out, and it was really easy, it was really doable, you know, it wasn't this big ordeal, and it just seemed like something that we could do after high school, you know.
The three women stayed in guest quarters at the Higgins home in Moshi. They would go to the orphanage each day to help clean after the children left for school and begin cooking lunch, which took most of the morning since all the cooking was done with a wood fire. They also helped with laundry, another chore that took several hours and a lot of elbow grease.
And but, things take a long time there just because, yeah. I mean, when you're washing clothes for 43 kids all by hand in like just buckets of water, it took, yeah. I mean, my knuckles were bleeding by the end of it sometimes.
We all pretty good, yeah, raw knuckles.
They helped set up a computer room for the orphanage. Computers and books donated to the children had sat for about a year, they said. They organized the books, painted the room, and bought furniture, rugs, and desks. Most of the 43 children at the orphanage lost their parents to HIV or AIDS. Two of the children have HIV themselves.
There is a whole demographic lost because of that epidemic in East Africa, so that leaves all the elderly and all the children, not all of them, I mean, not everyone's gone, but a lot of elderly people and a lot of children with no one to take care of them.
The women said the orphanage exists to provide a long-term home for children who are not officially up for adoption. It hopes to expand to be able to house more than 100 children in the next few years.
That they're not trying to adopt any of the kids out. They're trying to create a family for the kids to live as long as they want there and always have a place to go back to. So even the kids that are 18, 17, and going to be graduating from school soon, they'll always have a place at the orphanage. It's not, I think they didn't want to create that vibe where where people would come and go.
The trio were able to see other parts of the country while in Tanzania. They went on safari and visited nearby sites. Brooke also went on an expedition to the summit of nearby Mount Kilimanjaro. They described the land as dry and dusty, but with trees and some green hills. The school grows maize, plantains, and rice to supply itself and to sell. Jackie, Brooke, and Elena said the language barrier was one of the hardest parts of the experience. But the kids were more quick to catch on. The women were able to point out on a wall map where Alaska was.
There was kind of like that map painted on the wall. We could always be like, that's home for us.
That's our home.
Look how far we have to fly tomorrow.
Yeah. And they'd be like, why are you leaving? We don't understand why you're leaving.
We're like, you come back next week?
Yeah. We're like, no, we can't make it back next week. It's going to be a long time until we come back.
Time is mama. I like football.
My name is Gifty. I like Alaska.
The three volunteers have been friends since a young age, growing up in Haines and going through school together. Elena and Brooke said it enriched the experience to have friends to share it with.
I definitely don't think it would have been the same experience if I had gone there by myself. Like, not having anyone to share it with
wouldn't
have made it as enriching.
So lucky to have had the experience, but then to have, like, two of my best friends that have all the same memories of the experience as me, so, like, we can talk about it for years to come.
The women said they were grateful for the support they received from the community and friends and family to help with their experience. That connection also helped them recognize the similarities between Haines and the town of Moshi.
The longer we were there and the more we got to know the people, I think
people are people everywhere.
Yeah, so I guess that's kind of what it was, just seeing, and kids are kids everywhere, so even though the kids at the orphanage have struggled a lot more than the kids here at home, they enjoy all the same things, and they, you know,
throw all the same tantrums.
Yeah, they throw the same tantrums, and they want the same attention. So,
the orphanage is such a community too. Like, other adults from the area would come in and help do laundry. You know, the matrons are taking care of all these kids who aren't theirs. And coming from Haines, like, we're so lucky to be part of such, like, a community, you know, where everybody looks out for other people and you take care of other people's kids. And so that was definitely reflected in Africa, how they do that there, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, it was very similar community. That might have been why it was so hard to leave.
The women said they want to stay involved with the orphanage. They said Higgins is working on a plan to eventually bring two of the teenagers from the orphanage to attend Haines High School for a year, a plan they want to try to help facilitate if possible. And all three women speak about not if, but when they will return to visit the orphanage again.
So I tried to go with a really open mind, and I definitely filled up my mind while I was there. It was definitely an enriching experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like just the friendships we've made with the kids are things that is something I'll never forget.
And I definitely went into it thinking it was like a once-in-a-lifetime thing, but there's no way I can't go back now. Like, I definitely know, like, sometime in my future, I'll have to go back.
Elena, Brooke, and Jackie plan on hosting a slideshow later this month about their experience before they each go their separate ways for school and work. This time for Africa. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Casey Kelly for his help with this report. And thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. Your time to shine, don't wait in line, y vamos por todo. People are raising their expectations. Go on and feed them, this is your moment, no hesitation.